I was thinking about what Rebecca taught us last week. Remember, she taught us the topic of the mind. And she asked this question, and I've been thinking about it through the week. She asked, are we in control of our mind, or is our mind in control of us? And I've just been thinking about that all week long when I'm going through certain situations, and I'm like, I'm not going to let my mind control me. You know, it's really a good question that I've been pondering on. And then last week, there were so many rich, deep verses that we studied on the heart and the mind. And one of my favorites, I just wanted to share this, in regard to the mind, is Isaiah 26:3. And it says, you will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And I just been going over this too in my head. The word stayed in the Hebrew is spelled C-A-M-A-K, but it's pronounced samak, and it means that which is upheld, that which is unmoved, that which is firm. And the last word that was used was propped. And I thought, propped. And it put a picture in my mind that if I keep my mind stayed on him, then he will prop my head. He's a lifter of my head. So when we keep our mind stayed on God, we can walk in confidence, right? And we don't get tossed around to and fro. And so that, I just love that picture of he's a lifter of my head. So not only do we have perfect peace, but when we keep our mind stayed on him, he will uphold us. He'll keep us unmoved. He'll keep us firmly fixed on him, and he will be the lifter of our heads. And that was just a precious truth that I thought about from her study last week. And this week now, we studied Proverbs that covered our tongue, didn't we? There was correct uses of our tongue, and there was not so correct uses of our tongue. And then the Proverbs gave us wisdom in our workplaces, to use in our workplaces. And the Lord led me to share more on the tongue, but I'm going to be taking opportunities to apply the issues of the tongue in our workplaces. A lot of us here don't go to work, but the night we teach in the evening, and so the night people are going to be, it's more applicable to them. So I want to use some of that. And I loved what she said in the study. She said that our occupations are a wonderful way for each of us to be godly examples to those we work with and for. So I'm going to open in prayer right now. Father, we just come to you, and what a privilege it is to be used by you, Lord. And I acknowledge now that I'm weak, and I need your spirit to fill me, Lord. And we just want to learn from you as much as we can about this untamable little part of our body, Lord. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I loved what the writer started with in the first paragraph of our studies. This is like, I'm going to repeat it twice. It says, she said, the tongue is a vessel that carries information from the heart to the world. Think about that. The tongue is a vessel that carries information from the heart to the world. The things that come out of our mouths will display to a lost and dying world either the love of Jesus or the ugliness of our own flesh. I'm going to stop right now because I was just thinking of how I am in my car. I could be praising the Lord here at church, and then I get in my car and somebody cuts me off, and if people heard they're not like really bad cuss words, but they're like, I say, like, I can't believe that stupid person just cut me off. I say things like that in my car. Now, nobody hears me, but the Lord hears me. He hears me. And it's amazing how I can go from spirit to flesh so fast. And anyhow, I just was thinking about that right now. That's a conviction that I have. My driving is, I always get convicted. But anyhow, it's been said so many times that we may be the only Bible that people see or hear. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want the world to see the ugliness of my flesh. I want them to see the love of Jesus. And I love the list of correct uses of our mouths that our study had. We can use our mouths and tongues to share wise counsel, to exhort each other, to encourage each other. We can comfort and teach each other. We can pray for each other. There's a lot of good ways that our tongues and our mouths are used. But the not so good list was deceitful flattery, slander, gossip, boasting, profanity, lies, and exaggerations. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And I like to look up words too. I think Rebecca said that last week. So I looked up the word corrupt. It said, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." And the word corrupt in the Greek is sapros. And it means this. It means corrupted by age and no longer fit for use. It said, worn out, of poor quality, bad, worthless. Wow. So I wrote this really quick prayer to my Lord. As I was doing this, I said, "Oh Lord, please let me not be corrupted by age, stuck in my own ways, and no longer fit for use. Nor do I want my words to be worn out, of poor quality, bad, or worthless. I want to be used for your glory all the days of my life." And it goes back to me to that verse on the mind. If I keep my mind stayed on him, then he's going to keep me doing the things that are in his will, you know? And he's going to keep my mouth too. We were asked to memorize, and I didn't, so I'll be honest. We were asked to memorize 141:3. Said, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." And I learned this scripture many years ago. And I always picture these two little guards. I just picture them when I'm about to say the not-so-good category, something in the not-so-good category. I can picture them, like, piercing my lips together so I can't speak. That's what I picture that they're trying to do. But unfortunately, sometimes I tear those lips open and out comes what shouldn't have. And I can see those guards just shaking their heads in frustration. They were trying to do their job, but I didn't let them. And this quote from Lisa Turkhurst just hit my heart. It's a very simple, small quote, but it says, "Sometimes it's the words we choose not to say that speak most loudly about our character." Sometimes it's the words we choose not to say that speak most loudly about our character. I want us to turn to James 3 because that's where I'm going to be focusing on this morning. And I'm going to read the entire chapter, but I'm just going to be taking us through some main points from this chapter to go over. So James 3, and in my Bible, it was titled "The Untamable Tongue." You guys there? Okay. Verse 1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and then with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." And then verses 13 through 18, my Bible listed it as under heavenly versus demonic wisdom. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Pretty convicting chapter, isn't it? It's one of the first chapters I studied when I became a Christian. I still have a lot to learn. So verse 1 tells us that teachers will be judged more strictly. James started and included himself on this one. But any teacher of the word will be held in stricter judgment. Leadership requires more responsibility. And with more responsibility, there's more accountability, and therefore stricter judgment is needed. Jesus said this to the Pharisees, and you remember who the Pharisees were, the ones who were the teachers of the Jews, and they thought they knew everything. But Jesus said this to the Pharisees who were blaspheming the Holy Spirit in Matthew 23, 34 through 37. He said to them, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men," and I put women, "may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." We will all be responsible for the things that we say. Earlier it was stated that our occupations are a wonderful way to be an example to the world of Jesus and to be a witness for Jesus. And by our words, we're going to be a witness one way or the other for Jesus. By our words and our actions, the world will see Jesus, especially if they know we're Christians. Worked here at the church, I was working at the State Board of Psychological Examiners. Crazy, huh? But anyhow, I was the assistant. I was an assistant to the executive director, and it was just amazing to me how the world deals with situations and problems, and I would have to take minutes at the board meetings, and nobody ever sought the Lord there. I would sit there thinking, oh, if they would just start their meeting in prayer, they'd get an answer to their problem, you know? But I couldn't say anything, you know? But I was a witness by my actions, and I was a witness to my boss, who was she's not a believer, and I know one day she's going to come here to this church. I know that. I keep praying for her. I love her. But the question is, when we're out there in the workforce, how will they see Jesus by the way I speak? How will they see Jesus by the way I work? They're watching. They watch us. And at that state board of examiners, I gave 150% because I was working unto my Lord. And she knew that. She saw, you know. Now, I'm not saying I did everything right or perfect, no, but I gave all that I could for the Lord so that she could see this is how a Christian operates. Verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many ways, all of us." And I want to stop right here because I want to go over a few different ways that we stumble with our tongues and with what comes out of our mouths. And I don't know, this one, exaggeration, just hit me because I do that sometimes. Webster's 1828 says, "Exaggeration is amplification. It's a representation of things beyond the truth, whether good or bad." Do you know of anyone who, when things happen in their life, they are the one out of 2,000 that it happens to every single time? and they tend to amplify the facts. I'm guilty of doing this. I'm guilty. And my husband, if I'm sharing with somebody and I kind of amplify the facts, he will correct me right then and there. And I give him the look, but then he's always right. I mean, he catches me, so Oh, gosh. But you know what? Let's not share beyond the truth. That is not what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to share beyond what is true. It's not becoming of a woman of God. And the world can see right through the exaggeration. I guess I'm happy for my husband. And then I thought, so exaggeration was the first thing that causes us to stumble. I just kind of chose four areas. And I thought selective sharing is another thing that causes us to stumble. It's like how we portray the scenario went down. And it's amazing how our perspective of a situation can really skew the truth. So selective sharing can happen when we don't have all the facts. When we don't have all the facts, even though we think we're sharing, you know, the truth, if you only know one side of the story, you're not sharing the truth because you don't know all the facts. So I've been guilty of this too, and we can really blow our witness, especially in the workplace, if we share things without having all the facts. So that's one reason. Another thing is we can have a critical spirit because of our own convictions. Do you guys ever like see yourself like you have a conviction that's so strong, and then if somebody else does something, you kind of might say something because your conviction is so strong? I've done that too. And our convictions are not somebody else's convictions, right? And we don't need to be putting that. So that's another reason why what comes out of our mouth might not be quite right. And then the third thing is sometimes we just don't want to look bad. I don't know about you, but I can swing a story if I get to the person first and make it look like a certain way, so whatever I did isn't so bad. But you know what? God wants us to be truthful. He wants us to humble ourselves and be truthful. So this is what the world does. This is not what we should be doing. And God always honors the truth. He always honors humility. And the last one I thought caused us to maybe have selective sharing is when we allow our emotions to be part of our sharing. Like if something happens with our kids, or I remember in school one time something happened and my son was being accused of this, and I was like a mother bear, you know, and I didn't care. I was sticking up for him. And then later on I found out that he was definitely part of the problem. But our emotions can cause the wrong things to come out of our mouth too. And then the third thing was, I don't know why this one just hit me, but two-facedness. A two-faced person is not sincere. They will act one way or say things in certain situations and then in a contrary manner with other people. And Paul addressed this hypocrisy in Galatians 2:11 through 13. He said, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried with their hypocrisy." Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the encourager, he even got caught up in this hypocrisy. And I've been guilty of this in the past. I mean, all these things I'm saying, I've been guilty of. I desire, though, my intentions to be pure and my love and my friendships with others to be sincere. Don't you guys? You want it to be pure and sincere. I desire that, and God knows that, and he's working on me. In the workplace where the world is watching, though, this can destroy years of building up relationships. So be careful not to be two-faced. And then here's the fourth one. Sometimes we just don't think before we speak. That's just the simple, we just don't think before we speak. And I've been guilty of this also. In fact, last week when Rebecca was getting ready to teach, I asked her, "Now you're being recorded this morning, aren't you?" Because she wants all the recordings, you know, so people can listen to it. And she said, "Yes." She goes, I said, "That's good, because that way if the teaching is good this morning and tonight it's not, you'll have a good recording." She goes, "Thank you, Pam. That really encouraged me for tonight." I wasn't thinking. I didn't mean that. That wasn't my intent, but I wasn't thinking before the words came out of my mouth. Again, in the workplace, as we intentionally speak and act to show the love of Jesus, one day of not thinking before we speak can break down trusts that have been built up. There are many other points I could go over, but I'm going to let you guys go over them in your study. But I did want to go over a few more verses in James Verse 3 says this. Verse 3 says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. And even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it's set on fire by hell. Wow, our tongues could be dangerous. They could be very dangerous. So I have a question to ask you, and I want you to think about this like Rebecca left us with last week. So if the tongue is likened to a bit in the mouth of a horse or a rudder on a ship, the question we should be asking ourselves is, who is holding the reins? Who's directing the rudder? So who's holding the reins and who's directing the rudder? If we have no control over the reins or the rudder, then we're going to say whatever comes out of our mouth without thinking. When our emotions come into play, then we are allowing our flesh to control the rein and guide the rudder. And who knows where we're going to end up. But when we walk in the Spirit, then we're allowing the Spirit to direct our hands and we'll be led according to God's will. Galatians 5:16 says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. James 1:26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That's very convicting. I don't know about you, but again, I don't want to be useless to my Lord. I don't want to be useless to my Lord. I want to be used for his glory and for his honor. And if you find yourself spewing things from your mouth that are not edifying or causing grace to the hearer, then what should you do? What do we do when we find ourselves? Yeah. That's good, Ellen. But you know what? It's usually an issue of our heart when something's coming out of our mouth. We learned that, right, in the heart section. So I want to share something that we learned in our summer study from Healed and Set Free. There were 4 points that you can apply and do if you find if something's coming out of your mouth negatively, whether it, you know, be to your husband or to your friends or to people in your workplace. This was really neat. There's 4 points. The first one was see, see what is in your heart. See what's in your heart. And what that means is you have to be able to go to God and say, show me, God. Show me if there's anything in me. And he will show us. He does. So the first one, see what's in your own heart. The second is give. Give it to God. Confess and agree. Give it to God and repent. He's so faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is really, truly, it's amazing how quick he forgives us. It's amazing to me, his mercy and grace. But the third thing is forgive. Let it go. Quit hanging on to it. And the fourth thing is forget. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Press forward onto the goal of the upward prize. Let's remember this. Words are the revelation of the inner character. What comes out of our mouths has been treasured up in our hearts. What does that mean, treasured up? It's been there for a while, right? So if bitter words are coming out of our mouth toward our spouse and family members and coworkers, it could be that we have unforgiveness in our heart. Get to the root of the problem. Let God deal with the issues of your heart. What did the lesson say last week about the heart? It said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I wanted to, don't usually use my phone, but I wanted to share this commentary, and it was from F.E. Marsh, and it was on the tongue. So give me a minute to get there. Sorry, should have been ready. But it said this. It said, an evil tongue is compared to a fire, which is a world of iniquity. A spark of fire is capable of immense mischief. said the city of Portland in America was reduced to ashes from a fire kindled by a firecracker on the 4th of July. Chicago was burnt to the ground, many of you know this story, through a kerosene lamp kicked over by a cow. And the Great Fire of London in 1666, commemorated by the monument, broke out in one house in Pudding Lane. Many a prairie fire has owed its origin to a single spark from a passing engine. Think of the many piles of iniquity that have been lighted by the fire of the tongue. It was the devil's insinuating tongue that caused our first parents to sin. It was the lying tongues of Joseph's brothers which gave Jacob so much grief. It was the deceitful tongue of Jacob that robbed Esau of his blessing. It was the obstinate tongue of Pharaoh that caused the plagues to be sent. It was the jealous tongue of Miriam that caused her to be smitten with leprosy. It was the proud tongue of Korah and his followers that brought such swift judgment upon them. And it was the fault-finding tongues of Job's friends that ministered such trouble to him. It was the covetous tongue of Judas, which caused Christ to be betrayed to his death. And it was the boasting tongue of Peter, which made him deny his Lord. It was the unholy tongue of Ananias that made him lie to the Holy Spirit. And it was the prating tongue of Diotrephes, which caused so much trouble in the church. While the tongue may be an evil, it also can be a great good. If the tongue is sanctified by grace, held in by the Lord, and influenced by the Spirit, then there shall come forth the sweetness of kind and helpful words and the good conversation which is commendable to the Lord. And it said this, I just wanted to read them real quick, for a sanctified tongue is, and they gave all these proverbs, Proverbs 15:4, a tree of life to feed upon. Proverbs 18:4, a wellspring to be refreshed by. Proverbs 25:11, an object of admiration. Colossians 4:6, a salt to preserve. Luke 6:45, a treasure to enrich. Proverbs 20:15, a jewel to beautify. Proverbs 16:24, as honey to please. Proverbs 10:20, as silver for choiceness. Proverbs 10:21 is food to strengthen. Proverbs 12:14 is fruit to satisfy. And the last one here said Proverbs 12:18 as health to gladden. We only need to add one letter to words, W-O-R-D-S. If we add one letter in the beginning, what does it turn into? Swords. Our words can be used to encourage, to edify, or they can be used to cut. What a difference between the two. There is a difference in how a good thing is said. So let us mark these two things, what we say and how we say it. And I wanted to end with speaking God's praise. That was one of the things in our study, right? I think it was the last page, but it talked about different ways we can speak. And I want to speak God's praise. Psalms 126, 2 says that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. This psalm was written when the Israelites came out of their captivity in Babylon, and it was in Ezra's time. And we can apply this twofold in our lives. We can remember how we were delivered from Satan's hold upon our lives and remember our salvation. And we can speak God's praises with our mouths. Do you remember the day that you were saved? I do. And I'm so thankful for that. I'll never forget the day of my salvation. And then in the times that we found ourselves, even as we're in our Christian lives, we can still let ourselves be held captive to the lies of the enemy. But then when the power of his word comes through and he delivers us from that captive time, we can speak God's praises with our mouths, remembering the wonders he has done. I've shared with my Bible study group, and I know it's going to be a repeat, but I remember one time in my son's life when I found out that he had been molested, and we were serving at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley, and we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, serving the Lord, and then I find this out, and I was just devastated. I was devastated. He had ran away from home, and I remember I was just in a pit, a dark pit for a week. I'll never forget that. In a dark pit, and the women from the church would call, And I would tell my husband, tell them to just leave me alone. I was angry. I was mad. And then at the end of that dark week, it was the darkest week of my life. I was either going to walk away from the Lord or I was going to draw closer. But I remember at the end of that week, I just cried out to God. And I said, I just need to know if he's going to overcome. I just need to know that. And I'm not one to open my Bible and go like this, but that day I opened my Bible. And 1 John 5:4, I'm going to mess it up, but it said, who is the one that overcomes? The one who has Jesus as their Lord. He is the one who overcomes. And then it went on to, I was overcome 3 times in that verse. And that's what I had asked, Lord. I just want to know if he's going to overcome. God met me by the power of his word. And he just comforted me. And then I just kind of like woke up and said, okay, I'm ready to go back to church now. But you know what? We're called to be thankful and we're called to praise our Lord, to be filled with joy overflowing and to laugh and be merry because of our God. So I just wanted to sing this last song. I just wanted us to sing it together. So I can grab this.